See, Pat thought I was kidding about that. That is that's the real deal right there.
Yeah, no, that is a real thing.
With Pat in studio with us. Hello, Mr. Adams.
Hello, how are you?
Great, welcome back.
Yes, glad to be here. No, this is...
We could have had Pat do that live, but I don't think he remembers the... remembers the script as thoroughly as he should. Not a chance of that. It's like, was that actually me? Yeah, that was you, Pat. All those. That was from, 2011? 2011, 13, 14 years ago.
I was going to say, pretty much like right from the get-go, wasn't it?
That one. That one's on, Pat. That one right there.
Yeah. All right. I didn't know which one it was.
Yeah. Yeah. It's complicated. Can you make room over there? I have all the stuff piled up over there that I have to take home that's mine, because... they're telling me I'll need a federal marshal to escort me in after next Tuesday.
Well, I mean, look, rules are rules, man.
Exactly. Well, what's going on, Mr. Adams?
Oh, not too much. You know, it's funny. You were talking about it before the break. Pat is responsible for our family's newest vehicle as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we leased the new car back in, I want to say, February. Actually heading in tomorrow for our
oh,
service.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I'll see you tomorrow.
I will see you there.
Wow. It's a small world.
Right?
Yeah. How was your weekend?
It was good. It was good. Relatively uneventful, but yeah. like Saturday we finally took advantage and did our sort of like our standard like around the holidays kind of stuff. So we did our shopping around downtown. We went and ducked into the Briar Patch and each picked out each other's books for our annual Icelandic book flood celebration.
Yes.
And then we took Stella around and looked at Christmas lights.
Oh,
well, she loves
very
it.
Nice.
For anyone who's listening, Gettysburg Avenue over in Brewer.
Yeah.
Like that's.
Ooh, is that prime?
It's like this sort of cul-de-sac like development, but like pretty much everybody goes real hard.
Nice.
So that was super fun. Our friends, the Moriartys over in Little City.
Oh yes, they do a phenomenal job.
Tim kind of gets it's gotten a little out of hand, but in a good way. It's just one of those. I always look forward to it's become a fall tradition where he orders something and it's drastically larger than he anticipated.
Nice.
And he moves forward through there. But
gotta go check that
good
out.
Good stuff.
Got a lovely Christmas card in the mail from you and the family today.
I was going to ask if that had arrived
yet. It did today. Now, we're on a roll. We've continued what's now, I believe, a 15, 16-year streak of waiting too long and not having a Christmas card. So, Merry Christmas, Alan. Merry Christmas, Pat. That's our card.
Thank you very much. Yeah, no, it's, well, I mean, we got a family portrait done. We had to do something, you know, it may be the only photographic evidence of both Sheridan and I and all of our pets.
Right. How did you get the cats to hold still for that photo?
That was one of many. My man Vader only drew blood a couple of times. We worked with Deb Bell of Bell's Furry Furry Photography, and she does a wonderful job and really sort of kind of steered us through it. With cats, they hadn't really been outside of the house except to, you know, go to the vet. So they were a little apprehensive.
Right. Where are we going? Oh, the shot place.
Yes. It's like, and they have any number of written warnings on their files at the vets because they do not handle it well. It was really nice. It was really fun. And we got that photo along with a number of others that we are looking forward to sharing with the world.
Very nice. Now, you're a cat wrangler from way back, Pat. Would you, your cats travel at all?
Very reluctantly.
Mm.
So pretty much the only traveling that they ever do is back and forth to the vet. And the sounds they make on that trip. The sadness.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
You expect them to lose their voice because it just... doesn't stop. And they never make any noises like that. At any other time.
No, it is solely the domain of the backseat of the car. They're in their carrier and they are so devastated by it.
It is.
Yeah. Stella, is she okay with the vet?
She doesn't love it,
no.
But like, you know, and it's, but she's a pretty good traveler. So, and she travels a fair amount with us.
Right.
So,
right.
Uh, sometimes once it dawns on her where she is, right. Like she gets, you know, the tail tucks and right. She gets a little shaky.
Well, that's how Ginger was. She loved riding in the car, but we would get because we went to the fine people out here at Bangor Veterinary Hospital on Broadway for many years. We'd go past the station and she'd be like, oh, I know where we're going. It's the same thing. The ears would go back. Yeah. And then we had to put a special, we just loop a leash around her head. That it was essentially a noose because with her regular leash, she would pull right out of her collar and run.
Yep.
Because she wanted no part of it.
There was no, Ginger didn't like a harness?
No.
Okay.
Ginger didn't like a leash, a collar. She wanted to run wild, run free, but. And well, now she is.
Like father, like daughter.
Yeah, exactly. I will not be leashed. Not yet. I mean, there could come a time.
Well, sure.
5-6 years down the road.
Let's be honest. We're all anticipating the giant butterfly net for you, Rich.
There's no question.
That's clearly what's going
to
happen.
There's no question about it. Yeah.
They're coming to take you away, huh?
Yeah, well, you know.
To take you away.
You know, we're getting a new pup here. I was showing you guys in a few weeks, and I said to Abby, like, well, you know, there's a chance this one will outlive me. She started rubbing her hands together. And a little smile came to her face. Wow. I shouldn't have brought that up.
Well, I mean, you know, better that you talk about it now than later.
I guess, yeah. Didn't have to just put me out of my misery. But again, you know, we're better with dogs when it comes to that than we are with people.
Oh, amen.
Yeah. Let me linger for years. Anywho, on that note, hey, let's talk movies. Have you seen anything good here in the last week? Have you seen anything in the last week?
No, I actually I did see one offering at the cinema this week. There were two big new releases.
Right.
The Lion King Origins, or whatever the hell it's called, the Mufasa like origin story, which I don't really understand. And then there's the movie I saw, which was Sonic the Hedgehog 3.
Oh, Jim Carrey's return.
And let me tell you something. This movie goes harder than it has any right to. I had a delightful time.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, the first two were fine. Like they're perfectly good kids movies. It's weird to sort of turn a video game character into a film franchise, but I mean, they're doing it with everything else, so why not with this? I mean, you've got this sort of built-in like fan base. The first couple were pretty good, largely because of the aforementioned Jim Carrey, who is clearly having the time of his life.
And seems to actually care about this franchise.
Yeah. It's weird, right? But it's like, you just look at some of the names attached to this whole like universe at this point, and it's like, Ben Schwartz is the voice of Sonic. He's delightful. You know, we mentioned Jim Carrey. Knuckles the Echidna, voiced in two movies and a television series by Idris Elba.
Whoa! Wow.
And our special new addition for the franchise this time around, voicing yet another magic space hedgehog, this one named Shadow, everybody's favorite Canadian Keanu Reeves.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
It's a really nice list.
What?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just so, and it's one of those things. I don't tend to like this is a sort of a digression here, but I rarely watch these. But the algorithm continues to thrust them into my face, and every once in a while I'll succumb. And they're the red carpet interviews where they ask actors about other actors in the movie that they're in. There was this run of people asking various stars of Sonic the Hedgehog 3 on the red carpet what they think of Keanu Reeves. And, man, like, you know, you always want to believe
right.
that, you know, certain people are good people in real life. Like, Keanu's one, like, Pedro Pascal's another one.
Mm-hmm.
But, honestly, like, every single one of these people absolutely adore him. Like, you can just see it. Like, they light up when they get the opportunity to talk about him. And it's just like, oh, I mean, great. Like, even hardened, cynical Hollywood types think he's delightful.
That's so great.
Look, do you want me to tell you the plot? I mean, it doesn't matter. Like,
well, Can I come in blind if I haven't seen Sonic the Hedgehog 1 or 2? Will I be completely lost in the depths of this story?
I will say the lore goes a little deeper than you might anticipate for a film franchise based on, near as I can remember, a video game that was built entirely around just running really fast to the right.
Occasionally around loops.
So it's like the opposite of NASCAR.
Yes, basically. I'll be real. I went in having completely forgotten literally everything that happened in the previous two movies, and I was fine.
Okay.
All right. And I didn't watch the TV show at all. I think 8-episode television show starring the aforementioned Knuckles the Echidna, voiced by Idris Elba, and co-starring Adam Pally, who actually also does pop up briefly in this film as well. Basic gist, we discover that back in the 70s, a meteorite crashed Earth. Inside it was another magic alien hedgehog that was captured by the government and, studied, but also became friends somehow with a little girl who was there for some reason, the granddaughter of the scientist who was studying him. And, there's some complexity as far as what happens there. I'm not going to spoil anything, but just suffice it to say, 50 years later, our man Shadow, he's got reason to be a little miffed about some stuff.
Oh, boy.
And then, of course, our little weird family featuring, again, the aforementioned Sonic, Echidna, the Knuckles the Echidna, and Tails the Two-Tailed Fox, who is who can fly and is a tech genius because, of course, all under the auspices of, their I guess father figure. It's the dynamics of the relationship are unclear, but our man Sheriff Tom, played by James Marsden, who's clearly who every once in a while you could just see him sort of staring at the tennis ball or whatever it is that he's supposed to be acting opposite, and you can kind of see a little bit. You're like, oh well, this is where I am now.
Yep,
this is my life.
Yep. It's
this is what all my years of training have brought me to.
And yet the check clears.
I was gonna say the two commas on the check probably helped a lot.
Yeah.
But they're having a sort of they've come together to celebrate Sonic's the day he came to Earth, the anniversary of that, because they don't know what his birthday is, so blah blah blah. And then the mysterious quasi-government organization known as a little too on the nose titled GUN comes in and is like, hey Team Sonic, you have to help us because as it turns out, Shadow the Hedgehog has escaped.
Oh boy.
He has trouble. Escaped. Yes. And then, of course, there is the sinister Dr. Evo Robotnik, voiced by Jim Carrey. with his mustache and his crazy...
I have seen the mustache.
Yeah.
I have not seen the movies, but I have seen the mustache.
And, I'll put it this way. Double your fun with Jim Carrey in this one.
Oh.
He is playing more than one role.
Shock it.
There's a familial connection that is explored in some depth.
Ooh, okay.
Including a bordering unsettling dance number. Jim Carrey in full prosthetics, weird mustache, dancing with himself.
That was Billy Idol, wasn't it? They did the original.
I wish I could remember the song. It is a familiar song that you will absolutely recognize.
Okay.
And it's when they're trying to avoid the lasers that are guarding an entrance to a secure facility.
Sure, yeah.
And ultimately there's a grand plan for world domination that spirals out of control, and wouldn't you know it, there's only one person who can save the day. I'm sorry, one hedgehog. That can save the day. And there we have it.
Wow. But you enjoyed it.
I had a really good time. It is fun. It is smarter than it really needs to be. Like, there are, and we've talked about this. There's a brand of kid movie that sort of inserts references to sort of like work on multiple levels for
which you almost need to do for repeat viewing needs, because you need the adults to want to bring the kids back.
Right.
Right. Like, it's like you don't want, you want to sell multiple tickets to the box office, and you want to make sure that they don't throw their television out the window upon the 14,000th reviewing at home. But it's, how do I put this? It does it in a way that doesn't feel forced. And I think a big part of it comes from the fact that we, like, Sonic has been around long enough that it is generational. Like, yes. the original Sonic on, now was it on the Master System or the Genesis? I feel like it was on the Genesis, but I don't remember that for certain.
The first one I remember was on the Genesis.
Yeah. But again, that's like, you know, that's, we're talking 30 years ago now, you know?
The look Rich just gave me.
I stopped somewhere around Pong.
I was going to say, Atari 2600 for you, Rich?
No.
No.
Never. No gaming system. Well, now we have a Switch in the house.
Don't okay. worry.
Yeah. But it's no Sonic.
But yeah, so I mean, it's like they're like moms and dads are who grew up loving playing the game are bringing their kids who are playing. I assume there are updated versions. Like I've not had a sort of a Sega type system in my life for some time, but I mean they're still making Mario games, so I assume still making Sonic games. But regardless, it was a very interesting generational mix in the screening that I went to. I mean, obviously a lot of folks with kids, you know, but a lot of, we'll say a lot of dudes in, say, my demographic.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Well, that's the difference between something like that, where you talked about when they're going after certain intellectual properties and lore and building an entire franchise and universe off of a video game. The difference between something like that, where it's a video game that could be handed down, the retro systems that have been put out, the Raspberry Pis and such that have been put out for people that are our generation that want to play those games again, kind of in their original form, but they're still producing those things. That, I think, is the biggest difference between something like that type of universe and the Muppets now. Because when we were growing up, the Muppets were everywhere.
Right.
But now you don't see it as much, and I don't think they're as successful for a box office draw because there isn't new stuff.
Right, right.
The Muppets aren't for our kids anymore.
Yeah, I mean,
they're
only
appealing to us.
Well, you know, and it's funny, like, and like we can get into the weeds as far as like the recent the HBO moving on from Sesame Street, and you know that, you know, that whole that show currently does not have a home. You know, and there are a lot of people out there who are like, oh, you know, oh my God, how can this happen? But every single one of those people is like in their 30s or older.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not like,
that's not being handed down.
Yeah. And I will say, if you have not watched the weird Electric Mayhem mockumentary on Disney Plus, it's worth watching.
Yeah.
But again, that is very much a something aimed at grownups.
Mm-hmm.
With something like this, like, I was able to go and watch and really, you know, and there are times, and I always enjoy this. There are always jokes when I go to see these movies. There are always jokes where I'm like the only person laughing, and it's like, oh yeah, okay. So the children don't get this. Mm-hmm. The parents are probably just trying to make sure that the children aren't running
this
amok. And then and so I'm just like, oh, hey, oh, nope, just okay, no, just me. That's fine. Because every once in a while you need some of those for something like that. And again, like, the vocal performances are excellent. Like, it's weird to think that, like, you can tell, like, even with a vocal performance, if someone is invested in what they're doing.
Absolutely.
But you absolutely can.
Yeah.
You absolutely can. And everyone here, like, Ben Schwartz is clearly having a ball. I mean, it's weird to me how fully Idris Elba seems to get this character. Like, it's just like, how are you? And it's... But it's just like, it's...
You can imagine him asking the director for notes.
Yeah.
On how the echidna would handle this situation.
He's like, I know I punch things, but like, why? and then, of course, Keanu. There are... I'm not going to go so far as to say a shocking number, but a significant number of parallel moments where you're like, I just look around. I'm like, so did they just straight up lift the sequence from John Wick? Did that just happen? But again, it's like it's finding that blend between like right. engaging with the younger audiences mm-hmm. while still keeping the interest of the older audiences. And this franchise has continuously gotten better at that as the films have progressed. Like the first one was very like kid-centric. The second one sort of moving a little bit more in that direction. And this one is just like it's probably the best of the bunch.
Wow.
And judging by its relative success at the box office this weekend, particularly against a pretty... you know, powerhouse slate of offerings, not necessarily brand new, but like there are a lot of movies out there that a lot of people are still going to watch. It's doing pretty well. And I think they've already greenlit something for, I want to say a 2027 release, which is wildly optimistic to think that we're all still going to be here in 2027.
Right.
Now, some of that in terms of the maturing of the film, some of that probably has to do with the maturing of the audience. Harry Potter had some of that as well.
It's the same.
Where
yeah.
The kids who read the first book and got invested in the franchise were how much older when the third book, fourth book, fifth book, and movies came out?
Yep. When it's all said and done, I'm glad I went to see this, and I can't always say that. So, if you've got young ones, especially young ones who have any sort of interest in Sonic the Hedgehog, I would say feel free. They will have a good time, and you won't hate it.
There you go. Well, that's the best recommendation you can give. Thank you, Al.
My pleasure.
Hope you and Sheridan and the whole crew have a wonderful holiday.
To you and yours as well.
Thank you. And you'll be back one more Monday, right?
Yeah, my current plan is to do we'll do the usual on Monday and then I'll come in on Tuesday as well. Nice. to celebrate.
Pat's coming too. We're gonna burn this baby down.
I mean, I will probably be drunk.
Figuratively.
Oh, drunk. Oh, we'll all be drunk.
Yeah, that nothing figurative about yeah, that. I will not, like no. I'm gonna get dropped off.
No, Bruce is bringing Prosecco. I think Eric's coming from Bangor Wine and God knows.
Eric is coming. He told me that today. Yeah. I had a conversation with him. So I'm gonna be here because of that, and you know, a couple of the guys at work said, really, you guys might do that on the air. I said, yeah, what are they going to do? Fire me again?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
There goes my future employment with anybody. Yeah. Yeah. That's all right. I'm old. I've had a good run. Thank you, Alan.
Thank you, sir.
We'll see you next week. Alan Adams talking movies on Past the